Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're going to continue our conversations about mass shootings in America, specifically school shootings, and what can be done to address them and prevent them. My guest today, Captain Jason Gierman, he's with the Minnehaha County Sheriff's Department running to be, seeking election for sheriff in Lincoln County. He has supervised school resource officers and SWAT teams. Jason, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm kind of messing up your introduction, so give me your official title today at the Minnehaha County Sheriff's Department.
I'm a captain in the Investigations Division with the Sheriff's Office. I've basically worked in every area of the Sheriff's Office, but that's my position right now, in charge of investigations and then a lot of the specialty units, including the tactical team with the county.
So when we talk about mass shootings in America, and every time one of these things happens, I think everybody here looks around and says, where are we vulnerable? What are we doing right? What do we need to review? How do you approach when something happens in a different town to sort of relook at what's happening in your own county?
Well, you know, we do a lot of training in these situations. And if you go all the way back to Columbine, one of the first, publicized major events, it really changed the way law enforcement did things. Where they were waiting for a SWAT team to come before Columbine. After Columbine, the training went to the rapid response to get in and save as many lives as possible and not wait for that tactical team, which sometimes can take a long time.
Sure.
So that's evolved over the years to where maybe you wanted two or three officers before you would go in, to where probably the last 10 years we've been training our department to, if you're there, if you're the school resource officer there, you're the only one there, you need to go in and stop the threat. And that's what the basis of our training is now.
It's probably, when you first got into law enforcement, not exactly what you wanted to be training to do, to look inside a school or a school bus or any situation where there's kids, and thinking, how would I neutralize a threat in this scenario?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that in the 80s when I went to school, and times have changed so much that unfortunately this is a threat we got to deal with. And to have the best officers available to do that through training and hiring and selecting the right personnel can really help things out.
So Minnehaha County includes some very small towns and the city of Sioux Falls. The solutions for school safety in different schools just within that county are very different. Talk a little bit about that and what might, be effective in a small town in South Dakota versus what might be effective in a school district where there might be 2,000 kids in one building.
Well, I think you just said it right there, 2,000 kids in one building, which is bigger than most towns in South Dakota. So you think of the structure of a school, and they have a principal, they have a school board, and look at the structure of a city where they have a mayor, a city council, but they also have a police force. And, there is a need to have police officers there, but we can't be on every corner of the school. We can't be on every city block. So what we like to see of our school resource officers is they become involved in the school, and they are the eyes and ears and the intelligence. And that intelligence gets brought back to the Investigations Division. And they are basically our detective in the school, but they're also armed police officer and can respond as needed. So, It's kind of a multifaceted thing where they have relationships with the students and administration, and the administration can go to these school resource officers and maybe report something that maybe not level to where we're going to go investigate it, but they can help out that way.
Right.
And getting to know the kids and getting to know what's in your community, because, schools are a representative of the community because they have all the same people in there.
That's right. When we talked to superintendent of the Sioux Falls School District, Brian Maher, we also brought up the fact that, for some kids, just saying hi to that police officer on a daily basis is a positive encounter with the cops versus, meeting a police officer on your worst day.
Yes.
Yeah.
We deal with a small percentage of the people the majority of the time. They take up the majority of our time. But those larger percentages that we don't necessarily deal with in a negative way, the community policing model that we use, they get to know their officers, and a lot of times that information flows freer if they know who the officer is, know him. He's coming to their basketball games, going to the school events, and just being there as needed.
So in the smaller towns throughout the county, there's a school race officer in every school, in most schools? How does it work?
Yeah, we have one in every school, but, okay. You know, they're not there all the time. They may have to go assist another school resource officer or patrol deputy. So they can't be there 24/7. They can't be at every basketball game because, you know what, they take vacations. They have to have time off. But, you know, there's always that exchange of information from resource officer to resource officer. So if the Baltic one is gone and the Tri-Valley one is around, maybe the Tri-Valley one can help out in Baltic, or the Del Rapids one can help out in Baltic. You know, they kind of communicate that way.
I want to talk about the school shooting. It's not a mass shooting, but the school shooting in Harrisburg in 2015, where a student entered the office, the administration office, and used a handgun to shoot the principal. He was subdued by other office staff until the police got there. That's Lincoln County. You were with Minnehaha County. What's your role that day? And tell me a little bit about how you responded.
Well, I'm very familiar with that one. We happened to be training, our SWAT team happened to be training on the south edge of Sioux Falls. That day, and when the call came out, we were able to respond very quickly. Now, that's very abnormal for a SWAT team to get there that quick. It just so happens that we were close and right. Training that day. On the way there, you know, the information that we had, we were pretty certain that the threat had been taken care of. We were pretty certain, but there's not 100%. So
right.
You have to enact your protocols that you train with, and basically we had to clear the whole school with our SWAT team, and then we had to work with multiple agencies that came in. There was federal agencies, obviously Lincoln County, the Division of Criminal Investigation, Sioux Falls Police Department, and to get that many students secured, and then you have to do a reunification, which can become difficult. You know, some of the issues we dealt with were the kids with cell phones, taking videos, just a multitude of kind of chaos, even though it was calm, it was still a lot of moving parts to deal with.
Those parents are in the car already. They're on their way. Even if you tell them stay home.
Yes.
And the situation is
they have every right to be concerned, you know. And I think the cell phones worked out good for us in this case because they were able to communicate with their parents and say that they were okay.
Sure.
Which put everybody at ease, but still it's still an evolving situation that you have to deal with.
And that has to be, this seems to come up as a theme again and again about the shooting in Parkland, Florida, which is that those kids had cameras and you were able to see inside the classroom and hear gunshots, and that was posted on social media, and we were all in the building with them in some way. So there's an awareness that you have that is going to happen, no matter how heinous the situation is in this day and age. If it's students who are old enough, they're going to capture the crime on their phones.
Yes, and that's something that we as law enforcement have to evolve with too, that mm-hmm. You know, social media, Facebook Live, you know, streaming everything, that you know I joke that before my kids could tie their shoes, they were running an iPad.
Right.
And now, you know, where are they going to be at in 20 years with technology? Where are we going to be at? But it's something that we really have to deal with and embrace, because it's not going away, and we just have to deal with it.
From a, you know, sort of public service perspective, though, what would you want to say to parents and students, you know, as, you know, when you think about yourself being in one of these situations, you know, put down your phone and get out of the building. I mean, the phone could actually get in the way of somebody's safety, truthfully.
Oh, yes, definitely. And we saw that in Harrisburg, where we were trying to get people out of the building. We tried to do it in a calm, quiet manner. However, people were videoing us, and they weren't paying attention to what's in front of them and texting. So we had to restrict them on their cell phones and, you know, become a little more stern with them. And it caused some problems, but, you know, we worked through it. That was one of the downsides to them having cell phones, I guess, is just not paying attention to what was actually happening and not realizing that this is real. We have to deal with it.
Yeah. As a parent, I think every parent has to have that conversation with their kids. This is how you handle a traffic stop. This is how you handle, you know, an emergency situation when law enforcement are there, whether it's a flood and you're stuck in your car, or whether it's, you know, something inside the school that you need to get out of, and really have those hard conversations with your kids so that they understand.
And I think, you know, the school resource officer program you know, they do some of that. They teach classes, you know, they have certain criteria that they go over with the kids, you know, especially right now with the cell phones and the sexting that's going on. I mean, there are programs, and it's becoming a problem, and you know, the school resource officers are dealing with it. And again, let's go back to, they're the police of that town, and you know, the school, unfortunately, around here, they're as big as most towns in South Dakota. So
I want to talk a little bit about one of the other solutions, or, you know, efforts that people have mentioned as far as, you know, preventing mass shootings, and that's the Sentinel program, which was interesting when you heard lawmakers and parents and students talking about in Florida. It was one conversation. It's a different conversation in South Dakota than it is in Florida. When is it, not every school has embraced this and decided it's something they want to do. Some for very specific reasons. When does it work? When do you think it has the potential for being effective? What situations?
You know, I think the Sentinel program in Sioux Falls probably is not appropriate with all the cops in Sioux Falls and all the population. But I think if you get out into the rural, very rural, rural agencies where they may only have one or two deputies on in a county and maybe a small city police, that it might not hurt, because also everybody knows everybody in those communities, and they're going to know who the Sentinel is. And so it might be a viable to have them in those communities, to where I just don't think that Sioux Falls would be the appropriate place with our population here.
If you are in one of those schools, how do you have that conversation? What do you really need that person to do and understand?
Well, they have to understand exactly what the police understand, and they have to be highly trained in that. They have to want to do it, too. It can't be forced on anybody, and that's not the intention of any of these laws.
Right.
Some of the media on that's getting a little blown out of proportion, but you know, I think there are certain, it's a very low percentage that you would want to be able to do this, and you know, that's, you know, it is. But you also got to look at, you know, the school resource officer program, and there's other ways to stop these shootings, and some of the ways is, you know, you got to look at the kids, and the kids have to report suspicious stuff, so they have to be able to do that. Law enforcement, when they take in the information, they have to work with other agencies and get this information together and provide some kind of plan. So if this bad person in school, the kids know about it, law enforcement knows about it, law enforcement needs to do something about it. And I think that if that communication is there, we can have some success in stopping these before it happens.
Have you had an experience where you think that, I mean, it's impossible to predict what would have happened if somebody hadn't reported something. So I don't want you to say, you know, something, that, you know,
right,
to over-speculate. But do you feel like you've had situations where you think, you know, this was reported, it was acted on, and we very well could have prevented a tragedy?
Yeah, there was a situation here back in December. And I'm going to say that there's situations like this all over the country where law enforcement agents are preventing these. And it's just not making the headlines.
Right.
And this one here was involving an Iowa agency where there was some odd behavior by a mother and a juvenile son in a church. And then there was some shots were fired into some church deacons' homes. And, you know, if you just piece that information together, you know, separate agencies, you might miss something. This mother and son also went to a couple gun stores and purchased. They were purchasing large amounts of weapons. And after we got together with the federal agencies, the Brandon Police Department, the Minnehaha County Sheriff's Office, the Sioux Falls Police Department, put all that information together, I'm going to go out there and say we probably stopped some kind of shooting, whether it be a mass shooting or not, but you know, the focus was on a church in Iowa, and the mental illness was a serious part of this whole scenario. Mm. And you know, we were able to get the help that this kid needs. So
yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Lincoln County, because you are running for sheriff.
Yes.
And this is a rapidly changing county, isn't it? Tell
me
a little bit about Lincoln County.
Well, you know, it's the third largest county in as far as population in the state right now. They are experiencing tremendous growth, which can be a problem if you're not familiar with how to, as far as law enforcement, and how to grow with it. You know, when I've been in Minnehaha County, there's a couple divisions I was in, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that was just me. I was part of the, I was the division.
Right.
And, you know, now most of these divisions have between 5 and 15 people in them. So we've grown Minnehaha County, and I'm just familiar with how to do that and,
yeah,
and what the factors are and what needs to be done.
So give me an idea of, you know, what do you see? So growth is certainly an issue in Lincoln County, needs to be dealt with. Are there other issues that as a sheriff you have to be, you know, really ready to hit the ground running for?
Well, you know, I'm familiar with budgets. I started in the jail control room, and I was a supervisor in the jail. And that's one of the things, one of the big things that Lincoln County is going to have to decide what they want to do in the next probably 7 to 10 years is whether or not they want to build a jail, which is quite an undertaking, as you know, we're familiar with here in Minnehaha County. So that's one of the things, and just the growth and growing the sheriff's office in the appropriate manner. To, you know, you have to stay within a budget, and right, yet you have to be able to protect and serve the community. And we were talking about school resource officers, and, you know, I think that's one of the things that maybe Lincoln County could step up on too, and is help out in those situations if the school, you know, requests it.
Right. Have those conversations with those schools and figure out what's next. What kind of questions do you ask about whether a community should build a jail? I mean, where do you begin that, or is, what do they have now? Do they have?
Well, they use so many jails right now, and the problem that they're having is that they've had to hire a lot of officers, and and their budget is considerable to transfer all these inmates. If you have 100 inmates and they're using seven different facilities right now, and unfortunately you get a snowy day like today and yesterday and that facility says, hey, I need to get this person out of here, mm-hmm, we're full, guess what, you got a deputy on the road in a dangerous situation, and transporting these people back and forth, it can be hazardous and dangerous, and it actually costs a lot of money too.
Right, exactly. Interesting stuff. What else is going on as far as your background and how you think it fits into that position in the future?
Well, you know, I've been in every job in the sheriff's office. I've worked warrants. I would consider myself an expert in the civil process division. I've helped develop that throughout my career and been involved with that for 20 plus years. Just doing the jobs, patrol. I've been a sergeant in every position in the sheriff's office, and now I'm a captain, which is about as high as rank I can be in the sheriff's office right now. And you know, it would, to me, it seems like the next step is to be a sheriff. And mm-hmm, you know, and Sheriff Milstead has done a wonderful job, and he's not indicated that he's leaving anytime soon. But I don't live in Minnehaha County. I live in T.
You live in Lincoln County.
So yeah, my kids go to the T school district, and I love it there. I moved out of Sioux Falls to get to a smaller community, and guess what? That's grown into a big community already. So,
how have you personally, sort of, you know, done all those different things? Some really high stress things. Some high stress, you know, budget administration, which has a different kind of stress than say being on the SWAT team, and or going after a high risk warrant. How have you sort of maintained, you know, your own, you know, mental health and your own health and your family health and sort of, you know, dealt with yourself as a whole person in a really difficult career?
Well, I think it really helps that my wife is a sergeant with the city of Sioux Falls, so she understands.
Sure.
And I understand, you know, the dynamics that go on there. My kids aren't at that age where they, you know, they could really care less about what we do. But my son thinks it's cool that, you know, likes to see the SWAT stuff. But, you know, it's just being with family, friends. I like to golf. I like to fish. I like to hunt. And I think those recreational activities kind of ease your mind. And you know, it's just one of those things that I've just dealt with it for so many years. It's like second nature.
It's who you are now.
Yeah.
Captain Jason Gearman, thank you so much for being here with us today. Come back anytime.
Thanks for having me, and I will come back anytime.